الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها، وأبغض البلاد إلى الله أسواقها، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Every moment of our life, we are existing purely on the favor of Allah Ta'ala. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali says that a person on every breath, there's two shukr wajib on him. If Allah Ta'ala does not grant him that favor and blessing to be allowed to breathe in, then that breath would never be able to be taken in. So the fact that Allah Ta'ala allowed him to breathe in, that requires shukr. And after having taken the deep breath in, after having inhaled, taken the breath, the fresh air in, if that gets stuck within him and he cannot exhale, then that too would result in death. So the fact that that breath then came out, bringing the carbon dioxide out with it, that too requires shukr. So on every breath, there's two shukr required. And in order to be able to make that shukr, we'll need to breathe. So this is a never-ending thing, that our whole life from beginning to end, every second and every millisecond of our existence is dependent on the favors of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and which we can never ever be grateful enough to Him for. As a result, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that the pinnacle of an insan's shukr is, Allahumma la uhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Ya Allah, I can never praise you and thank you as you deserve to be praised and thanked. Ya Allah, you are as you have praised yourself. That this is the pinnacle of his shukr and his gratitude, that he acknowledges his inability to do it. So all the things that we possess, whatever we have, whatever we do in terms of all our day-to-day, fulfilling our day-to-day needs, etc., everything is purely the favor of Allah Ta'ala. But above everything is the favor and the ni'mat and the bounty of iman that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Because when a person will leave this dunya and move on, then everything else will stay behind. It is his iman and his a'mal that are accompanied with iman. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe in Allah Ta'ala, and together with that belief, then they do righteous actions as well, then for them are all the promises of the akhirat. So this iman is the greatest and most valuable gift and bounty that anybody has. And when all the other gifts and bounties require shukr, that breath that a person takes, that demands shukr, then how much of shukr does this iman demand? So the shukr and the gratitude of this iman is, among other things, that everything is done to protect it, to safeguard it. Like somebody has given us something very valuable, and then he observes us keeping it lying around. It's a precious gem, priceless gem maybe. And he finds it just lying around, person is walking around with it in the street, exposing it to everybody, inviting anyone and everyone to steal it. So this person has no appreciation for the gift I've given him. Because it's such a valuable thing, and he's not concerned about looking after it. He's not taking the steps to protect it so that it doesn't get lost. So similarly, among the aspects of shukr for this iman is that it be protected, it be safeguarded, nothing be allowed to diminish this iman in any way. That is part of the requirement of shukr for this iman. So among the things that affect this iman, this greatest bounty, greatest gift. If a person's eyes close now, nothing else will come with him. His iman will come with him. All the material possessions and anything and everything else will all stay behind. So this greatest gift and bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the gift of iman, what is going to be the, what are the things that affect it? Positively and negatively. Among the most profound effects come onto this iman by means of the environment that the person puts himself in. If the environment is a positive environment, then it will undoubtedly have a positive effect on his iman. If he puts himself in a negative environment, then that negative environment also will leave its mark. He cannot escape its effects. It's impossible. Physically, a person cannot escape the effect of environment. We are presently seated in this masjid. Every one of us came from outside, we were feeling hot. We are sitting now in the masjid, we are feeling cool. The only difference is the environment out there was hot, inside is cool because of the air conditioning. Physically also a person cannot escape the effects of the environment. Likewise, spiritually also he cannot escape the effects of environment. And this environment is what? This environment is where we are, or who we are with. Who's around. All this affects a person's iman. There is a technical discussion. Al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus. This much everybody is unanimous that in terms of the strength of iman, there is no question that iman is never constant. It's either increasing or it's decreasing. There is never a moment where one's iman is constant. It's either a person is improving, he's moving ahead, or he is going backwards. And a person who understands the value of this iman cannot take chances, cannot allow such a situation to develop, deliberately put himself in such a situation that's going to negatively affect his iman. And as we mentioned, that one of the main factors that affect this iman is the environment. Now to understand that this environment is what this is, where we are or who we are with. And because this is such a crucial thing, this makes up the environment, where we are, who we are with. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has repeatedly emphasized that make sure you are in the right environment. Don't put yourself in an environment that is going to adversely affect your iman. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains this with a beautiful example, a parable. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَثَلُ جَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ. The example of a good friend, and the friends make that environment of the person. So the good environment, the good friend, and the example of a bad friend. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the good friend, كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ. Like a person who sells perfume, sells itar, or he has this all the time. And the other side is kanafikh al-kir, like a blacksmith, an ironmonger, person working with fire to heat the iron and shape it. Now this example Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us. An example of the environment. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expands it further. فَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ إِمَّا أَيُّحْذِيَكَ. If a person has a good friend, if he has a friend, he goes to visit his friend. And if it's a good friend, person who sells itar and perfume, so when he goes to visit him, a friend often wants to give something as a gift. So what will he give as a gift? He will give what he keeps. He's all the time having perfume, itar with him. So he'll give some itar. So a person got a gift from his friend, he got a wonderful gift. He got something that will be of benefit to him. And supposing he doesn't give a gift, many times people go to browse only. They say, I'm just going to browse. But they come back having bought a lot of things. So if he goes, he'll browse around with his friend, he'll be tempted to buy. But if he's tempted to buy, he'll buy also something good. وَإِمَّا أَن تَبْتَعَ مِنْهُ. And supposing this person doesn't give him a gift, and he doesn't buy anything, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا. The least is that in that environment you will certainly have the benefit of that wonderful fragrance of that ether all around. That ether will be in that entire environment. So that will freshen your mind. It'll make you feel good. He didn't give you anything. You didn't buy anything. You merely was in that environment and you benefited out of it. This is the example of a good environment. A dini environment. An environment of good company. That a person goes in that good company or the good environment without even intending to do anything good. But the mere environment affects him, and depending on the time he is there in that environment, in a short time he himself starts getting into action. He starts doing something good. He starts doing something that is beneficial. And on the other side, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that as far as the ironmonger is concerned, now if this is of somebody's friend, so he's going to go to visit him. Now this person, especially in the previous days, they would work with a furnace, open fire, and put the iron in there when it's red hot, then he would stamp it with the mallet to shape it. So that's where his work is. So he says, Imma ayyuhriqa thiyabak. When the person is going to be in the company of that ironmonger, he's going to be busy with his work, or that fire is going to be burning. So either he will burn your clothes, those sparks are going to fly. And if those sparks don't fly and fall onto you and don't burn your clothes, you can never escape the fumes that are going to be there in that environment. وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا مُنْتِنًا. This is the bad environment, the environment that adversely affects iman. That either somebody, that bad company, he'll offer you something. But he'll offer you what he has. He might offer somebody something dangerous to smoke. He might offer him something that will wreck his iman up. He might tell him, see what I got on my phone. And he might have the worst kind of filth on his phone. Don't know what ticket he might give you one also. Let's go, I'm going, you come along with me. And if that is not the case, if he does not actively invite one towards wrong, but you cannot escape the fumes, you cannot escape the thick smoke that comes out of it, that you're going to see what he's doing, and sooner or later you're going to get also inclined towards what you are seeing him doing. And that is one person. If there's 10 people, and if there's 100 people, and there's a whole crowd, then a person just gets swept away. It's like a flood that just takes a person in the direction he's going. So all this is highlighting the importance of a person being in the correct environment. The environment is that of goodness, is that of piety. Therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The best of all places on earth in the sight of Allah Ta'ala are the masjids, the house of Allah Ta'ala. Person comes into the masjid, many people were in the masjid long before the azan took place. Now person is sitting in the masjid, it is very, very remote that a person sitting in the masjid will now be strongly inclined towards doing something wrong now, to speaking something haram, to looking at something haram. Whereas at that moment he's sitting in the masjid, he himself might not even be making any tasbih or tilawat or salah or whatever. But he's in an environment of good actions. In an environment, on one corner he can see somebody making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Somebody is performing salah. He can see the tasbih in somebody's hand. That very environment positively affects him. He too somehow starts getting into the mode of doing something good. At least he recites some Durood Sharif. وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the worst of all places in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the most detested, abghad, are the aswaq, are the marketplaces. This is the most detested of all places in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because this very environment makes a person's whole heart go in a different direction. He left the masjid with his heart filled with iman. He performed the Jummah Salah. He recited Durood Sharif. He listened to the khutbah. He made various other amal. He made tilawat of the Quran Sharif. And ask him 1 hour later in the bazaar, after having spent 1 hour, is his heart in the same condition? Any person with justice in his heart will admit and acknowledge it can't be the same. And everything there is attracting a person in the negative direction. Now, out of necessity, out of need, a person has his work in the bazaar, his business is there. He has to go and buy his necessities. So, the principle of necessity is that it is restricted to the extent of necessity. It's a necessity. A person goes for a necessity, he fulfills it and he comes back. But he doesn't go in a place that is not conducive without necessity. The toilet is a necessity also. And there is no home complete without a toilet. But nobody goes to the toilet in order to relax. And if that is the case, then there is something very serious. Nobody goes into the toilet to relax, but it is no home is complete without it. So no community is complete if it doesn't have a marketplace for the necessities of people. But it is not a place for relaxation, for entertainment, for a person to pass time, because this is an environment that negatively affects a person's iman. It's not an environment that is conducive to a person's iman. There are things that happen in that marketplace which are against the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that draw down the wrath of Allah ta'ala. And putting oneself in that environment without necessity is to put one's iman in risk. And to the extent of the intensity of the evils that take place, to that extent it is dangerous for a person to be there. And the environment is such that when there has been some evil taking place in the environment, even after that evil is over, the effects still stay there. In one hadith, it is referred of Bukhari Sharif, the incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned when he was on his way to Tabuk. And en route, he had to pass by the ruins of Thamud, the people that were destroyed, the people of Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, when they refused to take heed, and eventually the azab of Allah ta'ala came, and they were destroyed. But those ruins were still there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the way to Tabuk. Some sahaba were ahead. So as this was on the way, they had to pass. This was a necessity to go through. But as they passed, now there were some wells that were still active because people would keep passing, traveling by, so they would draw water from these wells. So some sahaba ikram had already reached this area before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. So they drew water out of the wells and they filled some water in their containers. Some of them used that water to already make their dough for their flour, for their bread. They needed the dough. And in this time, as they were busy with all this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached. When he saw this, what's going on, he immediately instructed them that all those who have taken the water of these wells, throw it away. All those who have already made that dough with this water, don't even use that, discard that as well. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, that لَا تَدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونُوا بَاكِينَ أَيُّصِيبَكُمْ مِثْلُ مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. Can you imagine that the people of Thamud were destroyed centuries before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last Nabi before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he came 500 years before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More than 500 years. So Thamud were many, many centuries before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That azab had come on them and they were gone. They were history. And so many centuries later, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is passing through this place. And he's saying to the sahaba, look, discard all this. And don't even pass this place, illa an takunu baqin, except that you are crying out of fear. Ayusibakum mithlu ma asabahum, out of fear that the same azab should not befall you, which came above on them. And then in the narration of Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned, how did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then pass through this spot? Thumma qanna'a ra'sahu wa asra'a sayr. Hatta jazal wadiya. Nabi sallallahu alaihi takes his shawl and covers his head. He doesn't want to see what's going around. What's there? There's nobody there. There's just the ruins. The azab had fallen centuries before. People make these places where azab came, make it places of like a tourist attraction. People go to the Dead Sea for a holiday, as a tourist attraction. There's a place of azab. That is a place that is the lowest point on earth, because the malaika carried that whole village up because of the terrible deed that these people were involved in, the sin of sodomy. The angels finally carried it right to the skies and turned it up and threw it down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam threw it down with such force that that became the lowest point on earth. But that is a vivid reminder of the azab. And people go there as a tourist attraction. Some disaster breaks out in some place, people go there to as spectators, just to see what happened. And then we talk about it like a news item. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, and he first cautioned the Sahaba, don't pass through this place except you are in tears, you are crying, out of fear that the same azab must not come on you. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ma'asum Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, with whom was the protection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, ثُمَّ قَنَّعَ رَأْسَهُ, he covers his head, وَأَسْرَعَ السَّيْرِ, now it was out of necessity he had to go past this place. He quickens the pace of his mount, makes it walk very fast, حَتَّى جَازَ الْوَادِيَ, until he passes the entire valley and he's gone out of it, then only he uncovers his head. Now where azab has come, this is the situation. Where sin is taking place, a similar fear should be in a person's heart. This is not a place for my iman, for me to risk my iman. I cannot take myself in a place where when I leave from there, I don't know where I'm gone to. Many a times a person is very punctual with his salah. Somebody has even other amal in his life, his punctual, his tilawat, somebody is making his zikr very regularly. And sometimes out of the blue he says, I don't know what happened, everything is gone. I can't even wake up for Fajr Salah. My tilawat is no more. I was very punctual, I was reciting 2 paras a day. I can't even make quarter para anymore. My zikr is gone. What has happened? What has happened is that that iman got affected. My gaze used to be very controlled. I now have no control over my gaze. I'm casting glances anywhere and everywhere. What has happened? Why has that brake lining suddenly failed? It has failed because we've put ourselves, we went around to browse. But in the process of browsing, we bought a lot of things. We imported a lot in that heart. A lot of darkness, a lot of evil. Now that is all playing out in our day-to-day life, that it has become the barrier towards good deeds. It has restricted the tawfiq and the ability that comes from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in doing that which pleases Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now that darkness that has settled in the heart, like attracts like, that darkness is attracted to darkness. So therefore this is something that a mu'min doesn't risk. A mu'min doesn't take chances. A mu'min's heart is filled with khashiyat. Hazrat Sabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala an, great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayat of the Quran Sharif is revealed, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi. And O you who believe, don't raise your voices above the voice of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Like sometimes it happens in some conversation, somebody is saying something, somebody wants to make himself heard, he raises his voice. Now this is what was being meant, and some Bedouins used to come, never had the opportunity to learn any etiquette. They came for the first time, some would do this kind of thing. So the Quran Sharif is now teaching this etiquette, this adab. Hazrat Sabit bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala an was a person who naturally had a loud voice. Some people are speakers, some are loudspeakers. So he had naturally a loud voice. Now this didn't apply to him. But when he heard this ayat of the Quran Sharif, he just remained indoors now. He's not venturing out. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam notices his absence. He asks somebody, what has happened to him? Where is he? He said, I will find out. I have no idea. He comes back. He comes to the Sabit now. He asks him, what's the problem? He says, Ana min ahlin nar. I am already destined for Jahannam. So what are you talking about? He says, don't you know this ayat has been revealed? That don't raise your voices above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my voice is naturally louder than his. So whenever I will speak to him, my voice will be louder than him. As a result, I am doomed. So this person comes and he relates the whole thing to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, this is Sabit's fear. That is why he's not coming in your company. Because if he comes, he's going to talk. And when he talks, he'll say something, he'll be louder than your voice. And this will cause his destruction and doom. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Bal huwa min ahlil jannah. No, go give him the glad tidings. He is a person of jannat. This is not what is meant, that if the voice is naturally loud, it means deliberately making the voice loud. But what is the lesson we learn from here? Outwardly we will say it was a logical thing. So logical that what is naturally a person's voice, that can't be the meaning of the ayat. But as Sabit al-Nawdi didn't want to take any chances. He said, I can't take any chances. When he took that approach of not taking any chances while walking on the first surface of this earth, he got the certificate of, you are a person of Jannat. The Sahaba say, when we used to see him walking past us thereafter, people would say to one another, you want to see a person of Jannat, look at him. A Jannati walking on earth, look at him. But how he got this? He didn't take chances. He didn't go to browse. Because that browsing, a person buys a lot. He imports a lot. That heart that went clean comes back dirty. Unless the person is going in an environment that is conducive to deen, an environment of iman, an environment that spurs a person towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise, where there's an environment of intermingling, an environment of music, an environment of all other kinds of sins taking place, immoral dressing, and whether it's the public beaches, whether it is other places at this time of the year, this doesn't do any good for anybody's iman. And this is the greatest wealth, the greatest gift, the thing to ponder about, is that a person should think that would I be happy for my last breath to come in that environment? Would I like to meet Allah Ta'ala in that environment, whichever place it is, in the middle of those hordes on the public beaches, or wherever it may be? Is it a place that I would like to meet my last? And people have met their last on these kind of places. Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us. This iman is our greatest asset. Nothing is more valuable than iman. Everything else can stay behind. And our life also is not more important than our iman. These are the little sacrifices that we have to make. The Sahaba Ikram, they made sacrifices that we cannot imagine for the protection of iman. They were dragged on the hot sands of Makkah Mukarrama. The huge boulders were placed on their chest. They were flogged. On burning coal they were dragged. But nothing made them ever put that iman to risk. We have these little, small little sacrifices to make to keep ourselves from environments that risk our iman in some way, to keep ourselves from the temptations, and to keep ourselves in good environments, in good company. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.